Hi, this is Debbie Hodge with Get It Scrapped and Masterful Scrapbook Design with your next installation of Lessons from Tension, Story, Focus, and Flow. These are the story lessons. You benefit from telling the stories of your life. In the telling of a story, you better understand your life. You examine why an event matters, why you do the things you do, why certain things that others do matter so to you. Retelling the story of your life helps you better understand your own history and move forward. The people in your stories benefit when their stories are recorded, too. To be seen and understood is to be loved. Even when I don't record the details of a story exactly as they happened, still, my sons and my husband treasure those stories, and they find their truth of the experience as they reconsider the story. They get to see how I view them. They know that their role in our family, their words and ideas and actions are all recorded to be revisited, to be shared with future generations. Even when you don't think there's a story, when you just want to put a photo you love onto a page with products and design that evoke a desired mood, there is a story. There's the story of why and how you came to take this photo and why this photo matters so much to you that you want it on a page and why you chose the colors and images you've added to the page. I'm showing you now my page Double Rainbow. This past October, my best friend and her daughter made the 350-mile trip to my parents' home with us. I wanted to record the road trip, but it would have made for a so-so page without this story of how Lily freaked out when she spotted a double rainbow, and of how the rest of us couldn't see it, which escalated the freaking out. This detail is a trigger that evokes stronger memories of the trip. Again and again in our workshops, we find that many pages benefit tremendously when story is added or deepened. The first story lesson for amping up your page is tell a story. Meaningful pages go beyond the obvious to make clear the bits we can't figure out from looking at the photos. On a page about a fall outing to an orchard, we know that apples can be sweet and crunchy, and if we see a photo of someone at the orchard biting into one, we make that connection without being told. What we don't know, though, is that the high schooler in the photos had to be begged to come along on the outing. Let your photos show the obvious. Use your title and journaling to tell us what we don't know. This page that I'm showing here right now is a pretty page of six kids sitting on a stone wall. It's pretty, and it may evoke a feeling of happiness in the viewer, but it doesn't convey any other information. There's no story. When we take a look at the next version, though, you get a bit more. Via a simple label title, you know that the kids are cousins, so perhaps you can guess that they're at a family gathering. And the happy and the sweet life tell you they're happy. Well, you probably know that from the photos. Either that or they're doing a good imitation of it. This final version of the page tells a much more full and satisfying story. The title, You Relate, is a fun play on relations, and the journaling provides details about this day and a photo taken in this same spot years earlier. The point I want to make is that adding a title and journaling to your page is a great way to get a story down. We'll talk more about getting meaningful stories, but really consider any page you make, how title and journaling can enhance the story that the photos start. I just mentioned that title is an important part of telling the story and that it can be really useful. And you may say, well, how do I come up with a good title? I'm going to suggest that there's three goals you can set yourself with each title that will get you a knockout title. And that first goal is to set tone with your title. Both the content of it as well as how you render it and the materials you use for it can set tone. The first version of the page that I showed you here has the title captured. It's a pre-made bit of word art. It's a nice sentiment, but what does it really tell us? Not a heck of a lot. The title on the revised version, What's the Haps, is rendered with a bold, fun alpha. It's placed a bit askew and it's curled up for dimension, and that second typeface for the word the is a showy script. The second goal that I think you should set is to use your title as a path to deeper meaning. Good fiction tells us two stories. There's the story of the incident at the surface and the deeper story of why these characters and the situation matters. Scrapbook pages can also tell two stories, and your title is one of the tools you have for getting at the deeper story. It wasn't until I wrote the journaling for this page that I had my title, What's the Haps? It's a line from the journaling and a line of dialogue from my son. It's the heart of the story because this page is about my son's curiosity, his love of socializing, and his lighthearted acknowledgement of this nosiness whenever he hears my conversations on the phone. The third goal that I suggest you use for your titles is to use your title to strengthen your visual design. A well-rendered scrapbook page title contributes to the goals of catching and guiding the eye, in other words, focus and flow, in order to convey information and evoke emotions. The title work here is strong and becomes the first stop or focal point on the page. It's placed right next to my son's face in a photo with an unexpected crop. Remember, we're going back to breaking borders and the idea of proximity. The unexpected crop and the proximity with the title work unite the two and make them a strong focal point for the page, a focal point that's a great lead-in to my journaling. Titles don't always come to me, and they may not always come to you. One of the things that I find helpful when I'm trying to come up with a title is to think about the kinds of titles that I might use on a page. And the most basic would be to use a label. Think snow. And that can work just fine. But if you can come up with a descriptor that's especially accurate and interesting, specific, that can make it even more interesting. So first snow or unexpected snow. Unexpected snow tells you maybe it was a season when snow should be over or snow wasn't predicted. And here on this page, finding snow has to do with the idea that we didn't have any snow at our house and my son was so happy to get to his grandmother's where there was snow. We were really looking for snow that winter, so it also records something about that winter. You can also go word mining. Some simple word mining can yield several titles that go beyond the obvious. Take a look at your photo or photos and begin by listing nouns, then try to get more and more specific as you list them. You can do the same thing with adjectives and verbs. For example, I could look at a photo of two girls and begin with friends, and then knowing these girls, the associations that come to mind might be mates, companions, students, swimmers, conspirators, partners. And then I also, whenever I go word mining, I come up with a list of adjectives and verbs that the photo makes me think of. And then I look through the list to see what titles might occur to me. When I talked about that, looking at the girls, I ended up with several ideas, including drama girls, true companions, imagination partners, and always talking. Tiffany Tillman's page, That Wild Hair, has to do with her daughter's very wild hair. It immediately immerses you in the story. My page, Big Legacy, has to do with my dad dying, the legacy that he left behind, and how very big it is. So a noun and a descriptor. The key here is to be specific and accurate. Not general. Another kind of title that you could use would be a message or a question or advice. Your title could be a statement to or a question of the subjects in your photos. So take a look at your photos and make a quickly brainstormed list of the things you'd like to tell them or that you'd ask them. Here on Kim Watson's page, she has You Are Amazing. And the page is a message to her daughter about how amazing her daughter is. On Doris's page, this is more a statement of how she feels. He makes my heart beat. So you could use a tongue-in-cheek question, or you could give advice. You could have a thoughtful pondering on something you really wish you could figure out. But look at your photos and at your subjects in the photos and make a list of the things you might ask them or tell them both at the moment the photo was taken and now. A really great source of titles is your page journaling. Try writing your journaling and then looking through it for a line that epitomizes your subject. Lisa Dickinson made Father-Daughter Love, and she actually wrote her journaling, and in it it said, "There could never be a father who loved his daughter more than I love you," but she chose out the Father-Daughter Love from the journaling. Emily Pitts had her journaling lead right into her title. And Free Flowers is what I read as her title, and then the journaling comes right out the other side, too. Titles that have wordplay in them are a lot of fun and can be really clever, and they can point to deeper meaning. While you might think they're hard to come up with, I find that whenever I have titles that have wordplay and double meanings, they actually usually come to me while I work. And that's how it was with You Relate. I did start with cousins as my placeholder while I worked, and then I went to relatives. Oh, relations. Relate. It just comes. Don't force it. Have faith. Trust in the process. A memorable quote or a line of dialogue can also make a really awesome page title. The things that your folks in your life say can be a great source of that material. It could be a funny one-liner or a message that resonates. My page and then he'll leave me came out of a conversation with my husband that I was recording on the page. What's the Haps, the title here, came from something my son said to me in the car that actually spurred the journaling. Emily Pitt's It's a Meatball is sort of the punchline here to a funny story that her family often tells. So you've come up with a title that evokes mood or tone, that points to deeper meaning and looks great on the page. But the other part of that story is often going to be the journaling. And a question that I get asked frequently is how to write meaningful journaling. How do you write journaling that goes beyond the obvious? And the first thing that I find is to begin with a photo that compels you. Choose a photo to scrapbook that you really love and keep coming back to, and then begin the journaling by writing about the concrete circumstances of the photo. When was it taken? What was going on? If there's something in the photo that's important, a place or a thing, write about that. If you keep on journaling past the concrete details, you often find yourself getting to the real heart of meaning. On my page here, Cukes and Vinegar, and Other Things to Count On, I began unsure of what story I would tell. And as always, when I don't know the story, I started with those concrete details. I saw myself and my cousins and my grandmother. The journaling says, the backyard, 1970-ish. That's me stuffing a chip in my mouth. Dawn next to me, Kathy across, and Grandma Hodge tending the grill. I see a glass dish that must surely hold cukes and vinegar and water. And when I got to that part about the cukes and vinegar and water, that's when I had my story, because that was something we always had at our picnics, but I don't remember it. I don't think I've ever had it at anybody else's house, anyplace else, since I grew up. And as I moved from that, I got to the point that there was so much in my life as a child that I could count on, and how secure that life was. So in addition to beginning with a photo that compels you, pay attention and make notes. Some aha moments are complex and they aren't easy to articulate, and an understanding that you just get in your mind and heart might not always be easy to talk about or to put into words. So when you have one of those aha moments, as I did when I said, ooh, the cukes and vinegar, that means something, stop, try to think about it, try to explore it, because I kept looking here and my eye moved to the table and the ketchup and the hot dogs. And I also noticed that the barn looks then as it does right now in my life, except for the cars. They're different. And I thought about how stressful it was for my mom at that time, dealing with a mother-in-law who never knocked and lived right next door, my cousins and their family next door. And so I had my story that there were stresses, but there were so many comforts too. And chief among those comforts was the constancy of peace in our lives. The rest of the journaling said, cukes and vinegar and water. You could count on them. See that? And my title came out of that. And deviled eggs. Family lived next door, and there was the stress that family would have with a business and a family so closely knit. Stress and yet comfort, and so many things we could count on, kept safe, fed, and entertained all our live-long childhood days. There's more things you can do to write meaningful journaling, and that begins with connecting the specific to the general, looking at behavior, and using concrete and significant details. And I want to use Emily Pitt's ice cream truck to show you what I mean by those, because she does all three of those. Connect the specific to the general. She connects this specific incident of her son with his new airsoft guns and his friends shooting off the back deck, and then there came the sound of the ice cream truck, and none of them went running for money or ice cream. They had grown up, they had grown past it. So she took this specific moment and connected it to their growing up. She also looked at behavior, what they were doing. That's the specific that she connected to the general. You can look at your own behavior. You can look at the behavior of someone in your life. Try to look at it from many angles. Try to understand the motivations for it. Like, ask yourself, why am I always late? Or why does my son avoid competitions? Think about behavior that's persistent in your life, either your on your part or someone else's part, and then try to connect that to a deeper meaning. Finally, use concrete and specific details. Concrete details are those things that can be seen, like animal is a specific word. Love is not. That's an abstract. And use details that are significant. For example, in this story that Emily tells, we really don't need to know what the flowers in the garden looked like. We're more interested in the details of the boys. And she's done this with really concrete journaling. All you could hear was the pop, pop, pop of the boys hitting the cardboard box. Ethan finally had his own airsoft gun, and the guys decided it was time to show off their target skills. Our backyard was designated as Command Central. I went out to take a picture of their absolute absorption in the whole process. That's when I heard it, the distant song of the ice cream truck. So all these concrete details. And now she's moving to what it means, to what the bigger meaning is. Just a few years earlier, these same four boys would have dropped everything when they heard that truck beg me for money, and had I been so generous, raced to get a treat. But now they're too old, interested in other things. They don't hear the ice cream truck. And now she circles back to those concrete details. All they hear is the pop, pop, pop of airsoft bullets colliding with a makeshift target. The fact that their hearing has changed makes me a little bit sad. So she's ending with an abstraction, sad, but she's earned it with all these concrete details. If she started out by saying, I was so sad the day that my son didn't get ice cream, it wouldn't have the impact that all these specific details from her story building up to it give. And then finally, one more thing that I want to suggest is to avoid schmaltz. And by that I mean sentimentality. Sentimentality is the exaggerated and effective use of emotion in writing. And the reason it's not good is because it bypasses complexity. It looks at things if they're black and white. It relies on cliches and abstracts. So instead, use concrete details to get to a statement of your feeling. You don't need to use all kinds of pretty emotional talk. All right, so lesson number one in this story area had to do with tell a story and do it via your journaling and your title. The second lesson is know your type. Type allows you to record the stories of your photos in words. Type is a tool that makes language visible. It's made up of lines and dots and shapes, though. So if you understand that, think about how you really ought to choose your type to support your page design and your story. Even if you're using pre-made chipboard alphas or stickers or rub-ons or stamps or something other than a printed or die-cut font, those alphas are rendered in a typeface. So choose a typeface knowing its purpose, and by that I mean, is it for title work or journaling? Choose it for the mood and message you want it to convey, and choose it for how it's going to look with your design. How much visual weight will it add? How will it contribute to flow? How will it support the telling of your stories? Choose your typefaces for purpose. And when I say that, that's as simple as choose a typeface that's readable for journaling, choose a typeface that's perhaps more showy, that's a display font for your titles. A font designed for headlines or posters is not going to function well for journaling. A typeface that's designed for extended reading is going to lose some of its impact if it's blown up. Type in all caps is less readable than type in lowercase. And while it isn't a good choice for journaling, it's going to work for limited amounts in title work, as seen in the word finding here on Finding Snow. And the swashy display font used for snow is also good for title work, but wouldn't work for journaling. Whereas the typewriter font for the journaling is just perfect for the journaling. Blown up, it's not going to have a lot of title impact. We can take a look at another example on Tiffany Tillman's Shh, My Baby's Sleeping. This is one of my favorite page that uses type beautifully. She's used a really clean sans serif font for her type, which is shaped in a circle. For her journaling, which is shaped in a circle. And for her title, she's combined several typefaces that all have a very calming, peaceful, lovely feeling. She's got her the same typeface that she used for the journaling, used larger for shh and sleeping, but baby is this nice, loopy, playful font, and my is in these alpha stickers. So it's an eye-catching combination. It's appropriate for what it needs to be in. the font that she used for baby wouldn't work for journaling, but the font that she works for journaling wouldn't work if that were all she used in her title. It works for the journaling. If her whole title were in that, it wouldn't be very remarkable. So she's mixed it up. Choose your typefaces for mood and message. A typeface has a personality. With a change in typeface, you can go from formal to casual, from serious to funny, from stylish to conservative, from modern to old-fashioned. And depending upon its personality, a typeface can set the tone of your words and even evoke a feeling. Take a look at this typeface, Railway. Take a look at it, maybe stop this video right now and write down several words that the typeface makes you think of. Or just pause it and think about it before I tell you what it makes me think of. It makes me think clean, simple, spare, and yet just a bit playful. And now here's another one. Cookie. This typeface makes me think fun, casual, sweet. Because of these connotations, they were great choices for my title on Easy to Tickle. Railway worked for easy, nice, and clean, and Cookie was great for to tickle, playful, and fun. If you look at a font and you can't come up with any associations, then try thinking of opposite associations. And if you still don't come up with anything, it is probably not a font that's going to set a mood. You can also find fonts that are really designed for certain topics. On my page, Greek Festival, I went searching for fonts. I searched the internet for Greek font. And Greek is rendered in Pegasus Normal, and Festival is in Archaeological Caps. If you're using multiple typefaces next to one another, be sure that they either correspond or contrast engagingly and clearly. Avoid confusion. So by correspond, if they're going to correspond, they should do it without confusing. It should be clear that they go together. So don't use two similar old-style typefaces, two similar but different old-style typefaces, or two similar but different sans-serif typefaces. Instead, use the same typeface, but use it in a different weight and a different size to get your emphasis. Or if they're going to contrast, they should be obviously contrasting. You can see several typeface pairing here that contrast well. And you can use these for mixed title fonts or for title plus journaling. So here's some high contrast combos, all free typefaces. There's Railway and Gaudi, Cookie and Cabin, Rockwell and PT Sans, Bibas Noi and Ariel, Pacifico and Cuprum, Impact and Georgia, Garamond and Gill Sans. You know that they're different typefaces. There's no mistaking that. On Tiffany Tillman's That Wild Hair, there's both corresponding and contrasting type near each other. The journaling and the words that and hair are all in the font, the typeface teletype. This title word wild, though, is in a loopy, fun typeface. I think it's cool that obviously contrasts with the rest. So you know what corresponds and you know what contrasts. On Proud and Happy Tourist, I used three different and obviously contrasting typefaces. I used a typewriter font for the journaling. Proud Tourist is in an all-caps blocky font called Blackout. And Happy is in the fun font Cookie. Let's take a look at a couple of pages from Masterful Scrapbook Design to see how the typefaces that are chosen are suited for the role or purpose on the page, how they support mood and message, and how they correspond and or contrast clearly. So we're back to Tiffany Tillman's Shh, My Baby's Sleeping, because it's a great example of using type well. The typefaces, how are they suited for the page? Well, we've got a clean, peaceful page. The journaling is in a sans serif that's easy to read, and it's in part of the title, but we've also got a nice display font in the title to give it punch. When it comes to supporting mood and message, there is something about this clean sans serif here and this loopy babies that feels like a nice, clean, peaceful nursery. And be sure that they correspond or contrast clearly. And we can see that babies clearly stands out from the shh, sleeping, and the journaling. We've got another page by Anna Asmus here, and she combined two typefaces for her contemplative title, Altered Landscapes, and the two of them are quite different. They clearly contrast with altered in script and landscape and all cap stamped looking kind of alpha. They contrast. What they do is they evoke both a sense of beauty and harshness that goes with her topic, because she's taking on the topic of change, its inevitability, and its ability to both nourish and cause hardship.
The third way that you can step up your scrapbook page design in the area of story is to shape up. And by that, I mean, pay attention to the space that your text fills, the shape it makes, the visual weight it takes on, and the mood it sets. Our minds recognize and make associations with familiar shapes. Squares are trusted shapes that connote stability, and circles, with their lack of a beginning or an end, are often thought to represent the eternal whole or the circle of life. Your canvas has a shape, probably square or rectangular. Photos and blocks of type have shapes too, again, frequently rectangular, but not necessarily. Take a look at this page by Sarah Gleason. Her journaling blocks are square. She's full justified them to make that really clear that they're squares. She's got a circular frame here and some circles floating up. She's got rounded corner squares. Flowers are yet another shape, and the birds are a shape. These are all familiar shapes that we would know even without the detailing on them. The primary thing to think about here is that shapes are yet another way to focus and guide the viewer's eye through your page, and the alignments that you use on your journaling and your title work can all affect how the design's going to look. Let's take a look at a couple of examples of shapely text. The shape of the journaling on volleyball isn't extraordinary, it's a block, but it's right, it's correct. The left justified edge emphasizes this strong line that goes right down through here, and this is basically a line around which everything is balanced. The journaling block on Lynette Panaccio's faves is a circle, a half circle. And she's justified it nice and straight along here, and she's used full justification with a digital text path to get this really nice curve. And it's an unusual way to have bullet type journaling. We usually expect to see bullet journaling in a list, but she's used little hearts between each one. So she's got this great shape that's the foundation for her photos, and within that is her type, and it's perfect for the page. Text alignment is key to how things are going to look on your page and how your journaling blocks are going to play out. I just mentioned on Can't Get Enough Volleyball that I used left justified journaling here. Notice the right side is a ragged edge, and this is justified, and it works with all that. If it was right justified, we'd have a ragged line in here, which wouldn't work so much. And if we had full justified it, I don't think I would have liked that so much, because I've already got a ragged thing going on here, and I want to echo that with my journaling block. You can also write justify your journaling on When Borax Met Glue. The journaling is all flush right. And flush right justified text can be harder to read than flush left, but it keeps the word and letter spacing we're accustomed to. That's as opposed to full justification, which I'll show you in a minute. On scrapbook pages, it can be the best choice for creating alignments with other page elements. And I've done that here with my strong line along the right block of the photos and this curving that goes along with everything I've done over here. Centered alignment is another choice, and centered text can work for menus or short and pretty poems. It's not good for large blocks of text, and Jana Morton has used it here on her journaling about the 50s, and she's aligned it with her title and created an interesting grouping of title and journaling, and their shape all works together. Full justified text is when you justify it on both sides. When it's used well, it can be crisp and elegant, but it's prone to rivers of white space that run through it, and that can make it difficult to read. Krista Celine kept her blocks quite short here, and she put them right inside her photos, and it works here. It's hard when you've got long blocks to get it just right. And also, you could just use no justification. On Easy to Tickle, I started things at all different spots with the resulting sort of diagonal shape, a shape that felt organic, and thus went with my design. Line spacing is also going to affect the shapeliness of your text. Leading is what we call the amount of vertical space between lines of type. These lines right in here, like here they're more obvious. And in the era of metal type, thin strips of lead were used to set the spacing between lines, and that's where that comes from. You need a good balance between your point size and leading to get easy to read and appealing blocks of text. A block of normal weight text with no leading is dense and dark, and it has more visual weight. Right here. In fact, this is a little cramped here. There's not much space between there. It's not a nice balance. It's harder to read. But there's situations when you might want to do it because, look, it really feels weightier, whereas this feels loose. And the leading here might be a little bit too loose because, once again, it's not what we're accustomed to seeing, whereas right here we've got a really nice balance. It's what we're used to seeing. But again, think about how much weight they make. Think about the space you've got to fill. Think about the shape that each makes. Letter spacing is also going to affect how things look. The spacing between letters in a word or a block of text is known as tracking. And as your type gets larger, you may need less space between the letters. And in your word processing or layout software, you can adjust something called tracking. Larger headline type is more likely to need tightening up. Adjusting tracking can also help to fit a block of text into a particular space without orphans, widows, or trapped white space. I often use it when I want to fit a whole bunch of journaling into a spot, and it's not quite fitting, but I need to tighten things up. It's maybe not the most readable, but sometimes you use it. Here's an example of too much letter spacing, too little letter spacing, just right letter spacing. And here, with this word kerning, sometimes there's just certain letters as things get bigger that you want to pull in closer. And in this situation, the E, I adjusted the tracking to pull the E closer into the K as opposed to up here, and it looks more natural. So you can shape your journaling with things like alignments to get subtle differences, or you can even get extreme shapes to your journaling and add a lot of interest to the page. We're looking at Dina Wakely's page here. Dina loves it when journaling becomes a visual design element. Of this page, she says, "I drew onto the page with the tip of a reinker bottle, then wrote my journaling on those lines. The lines give the butterflies movement and energy, and the journaling and lines lead the eye to the photograph." And she's used her own handwritten journaling along those lines. Sarah Gleason loves story-centric pages and building a design using her journaling in a structural way. The design here is built of journaling blocks that guide the eye across the page and through the story. The stair-step, one-step-at-a-time kind of structure deliberately echoes the take-it-day-by-day theme of her storytelling here. Lynette Panaccio used an unexpected approach for her list journaling, shaping it into a half-circle that balances her band of photos. On my page, Unfairy Tale, I added the journaling in long lines that I rotated in place to mimic sun rays or even rice thrown at a wedding. Title work offers even more opportunities for getting some shapely type on the page. You're working with less type and usually bigger alphas or fonts. The materials that you're working with are bigger and you've got fewer words you've got to get on, so you can do really fun things. Doris Sanders got a high contrast title on He Makes My Heart Beat, and it's red like blood and hearts, and she's placed the letters with some of them raised off the baseline, and that echoes the idea of heartbeats or a heart monitor on an EKG. On Lisa Dickinson's Roller Coaster Days, the title follows the curve of a roller coaster, dipping and rising back up. So those are really fun and unusual takes on shapely title work. The final story lesson is to aim for type story design synergy. In other words, render your journaling and your title so that their content and their design are closely linked. If you do this, you not only convey your story, you evoke emotion and charm the viewer. Lisa Dickinson's The World's Worst Dog is a great example of a page with type story design synergy. Her title is this big old fun clunky The World's Worst Dog, and she's got, and I think that's Rockwell that she stamped and cut out, and then her journaling is right justified, typed with loose leading that gives a nice light shape that balances out the materials over here, and it's all kind of wonky and has to do with her story. Lisa created the title alphas with a serif stamp on red cardstock. Each letter was trimmed out individually. Lisa says, "I love that the title, along with the mugshot of the dog, serves as a focal point. The character's tilted, wavering, and slightly wonky placement sets the mood of this whimsical, humorous, and heartfelt page. The font and color choice of the title reinforce the sentiments echoed in the journaling, that life with this dog is chaotic and crazy, but we love him nonetheless." Lisa often uses a long column of text as a design element, and she says, "My journaling fills a column without being too heavy or distracting from the focal point as a result of generous leading, which creates a lighter, airier feel. Because the text is right justified, it backs up nicely to the title and photo without crowding them or looking scattered, and the resulting margin between them forms a strong vertical line for the eye to follow down the page." That line right down through here. All right, we're going to take a look at another example of a page with type story design synergy and work through 5 ways to work toward getting that kind of synergy on your page, beginning with choosing type that supports page meaning for your title. And if we take a look at this page by Emily Pitts, we can see that for free flowers, she's got a nice scripty for free, which goes with that idea of free and loose, and an ornate chipboard alpha for flowers that looks like what you might see on the signage for a flower shop. You should also choose typeface for your journaling or handwriting that's readable and that either contrasts or corresponds with your title work. Emily has used handwritten journaling here that has really strong contrast with her title, and it leads into these stickers, these sans serif stickers. So you've got great contrast between the handwriting, the stickers, the script, and the chipboard. We know that they're different. Things should either contrast or correspond. You should make sure that you size the journaling and the title work so that they have the right amount of weight and are thus signaling the right getting the right amount of importance on the page. In other words, do you want your title to be your focal point? If you do, emphasize it. As Emily's done here, use size, use color, use placement. It's smack dab in the middle. Everything flows in and out of it. It's thus the focal point. If you don't want it to be a focal point, then tone back all that stuff. Another thing you can do is look for ways to get creative with the rendering so that it's congruent with your story, as Emily's done here with the scripty free and the sign for flowers. And everything flowing one into the other is really nice. Lisa did the same with her wonky stamped alphas for her wonky mugshot of her dog. Then finally, work to get synergy. Emily's done it here by flowing journaling right into title and out of it. Lisa did it on her other page with alignments and placement. I want to show you 3 very different looking examples of flowing journaling into and out of your title work. The first is on my page, Something Special, and the journaling does flow right into and out of it. Same thing on my page, and then he'll leave me, which also gave me a chance to break up this very long journaling and put a block of it up here and a block of it down here. And you can see that Lisa Dickinson integrated title journaling and design on Father-Daughter Love, emphasizing the words in her journaling that make her title, even though they're not exactly together in the actual journaling. The shape of her text and journaling block feels like an extension of her photo and foundation, with string and flowers spilling into it and uniting all of the elements. That wraps up the 4 lessons that fall within the area of story for amping up your scrapbook page designs. Again and again in our workshops, we find that many pages benefit tremendously when story is added or deepened. So tell a story on your pages. Meaningful pages go beyond the obvious to make clear the bits we can't figure out from looking at the photos. Choose a typeface knowing its purpose. Is it for title work or journaling? The mood and message it should convey and how it will fit in your design. How much visual weight does your selected type add? How does it contribute to flow? How does it support the telling of your stories? Pay attention to the space your text fills, the shape it makes, the visual weight it takes on, and the mood it sets. Finally, render journaling and title so that the content and the design are closely linked. Do this and you not only convey your story, you evoke emotion and charm the viewer.